Rolling.
And welcome to another edition of Derek's Dog Talk here on KFGO.com, one of my favorite podcasts because I am psycho about dogs. Is that a good way to describe it? My guest today, it takes two's JJ Gordon. I'm a little bit of a fanatic about puppies.
Oh, I would say that's absolutely certain. Yeah. You were probably more proud of that puppy than anybody's ever been of a vehicle or a set of golf clubs. Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing, if you're friends with me on Facebook, I don't want to be that person that always posts things about their dogs, but boy, there's just so many cute moments. It's hard not to share them, right? So
yeah, I've noticed that dogs, we're really putting a lot of emotions on dogs lately that we maybe hadn't had before. But when you see a dog come into a room and it's carrying its own leash, indicating to you that it's time to go for a walk, I mean, could you get something that's more adorable than that?
No, that's just it. They have so much personality, and that's just the whole thing. If you're new to this podcast, I have three golden retrievers. Always have usually had two for the past 10 years or so, but we have Bo, the 10-and-a-half-year-old. We have Russell, the 2-year-old, and now a puppy, Vinny, which is about, boy, he's got to be almost 20-some weeks old. And J.J. Gordon, you have a couple of dogs of your own, right?
I do. I've got a Wheaton Terrier, soft-coated Wheaton Terrier, which was the same breed of dog I had when I was a little kid.
Oh, nice.
And these dogs look identical, so sometimes I accidentally call Neely is her name, Max.
We still call Russell Silas, who sadly died 7 years old, who looks a lot like, you know, they look a lot like each other, big white dogs.
It's hard, right? Sometimes,
yeah, right.
Like, you just forget.
Well, yeah, after my dad goes hunting with his brother Jim, I'm Jim for a week. So that always was that way growing up. He'd go pheasant hunting or whatever with his brother, and hey, Jim, can you go mow the lawn? I mean, Derek, can you? I mean, so it's kind of the same thing, right? It's just I don't know if that's a Scandinavian thing or whatever. That might be. I don't know.
We're only allowed one name in the front of our mind, and you've got to wipe it out before you get the next one. We also have a toy poodle we inherited from my mother, who is a little jerk, and he runs the operation in our house. I mean, they weigh him by the ounce. He's that small. But I swear he takes up 3/4 of our king-size bed. So I don't know what to
Are
do
you
with this
serious?
Little guy.
Yeah, we have a king size bed too, and Vinny, what's your take on that too? When people say, "Oh, you shouldn't have your dog sleep with you," I'm like, "Why? What's the big deal?"
I love having the dog sleep with us. First and foremost, I like the protection of it because if something happens, my wife's gonna wake up and go, "JJ, go check it out." If the dogs don't bark, there's nothing to go check.
Right.
Out. Right?
No, it's like the little dog on The Bodyguard with Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner,
yeah,
right? I mean,
right?
They know.
Exactly. I also think, like, I mean, it just warms up the bed. We're in a cold area of the country, and so if you can warm the bed up a little bit more, why not, right?
Oh, for sure, yes. Well, Silas, that dog, he was like a furnace. And Russell's a little bit like that, where he's really warm when he cuddles up to you, and here's a 95-pound dog that's cuddling up to you. I don't know what it was with Silas, and he was really, really warm. So, yeah, those nights in the middle of January, yeah, you're right. It's the old three-dog night thing, right? I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to.
We had two old cats when we had our two dogs. So four animals, two human beings. I don't like those odds. I've just never have.
No,
right?
That's
I read
right.
The book Animal Farm. I know what I'm talking about. But when both of our cats died, I thought, well, great, you know, we've got an older home. It's easy for rodents to get in. We'll end up, like, having a problem. Well, we researched the Wheaton Terrier breed. I thought that they were a herding dog because if you get three kids in a room, Neely will herd all three kids into just a circle.
Sure.
And not in a mean way either, but, like, we'll push them or they'll be tugging on her ear and she'll kind of pull them into an area. They were originally bred as ratters for ships.
You're
so
kidding.
The Vikings were taking animals like this on their boats and, of course, like coming over on the Mayflower, things like that. And so they would go and rat out the boats. I found out right away that it wasn't the cat who was taking care of the mice in our house. It was Neely who was taking care
really?
Of the mice. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that stalksome? Now, the only downside is if she takes off chasing a mouse, my end tables are going flying.
Doesn't matter then.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. So there's still disaster in its wake.
I hate mice, so that's always a good thing. My dogs will sniff out a mouse because more outside at the lake, at my parents' lake place, you know, because they'll get around the boathouse where I have my little man cave and stuff like that. But actually killing them, I don't think, is really in their DNA. They just want to point out that's where they are, you know. So that's the only problem I have with them. But
let me ask you, so recently on It Takes Two, we have the vet in
yeah.
once a month, Dr. Doreen Winning. And I asked Dr. Winning a question that I've always kind of wanted to know, but I've been too afraid to ask. And since this is on a podcast, I'm more free to open it. My poodle, George, is a boy, and he grows a lot of hair near his unit. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so that I only take him to the groomers once every 3 months. We call it a peener. Because yes. Pee gets all over down there.
Well, then it smells.
It smells horrible.
Right, absolutely.
And he's got white fur.
Yeah.
So I asked, should I be trimming that on my own? And is there a safe way to do that? And she said, well, yeah, you can actually go in with like a scissor. And I'm like, no, not taking a scissor in there. Because if he squirms a little bit, you know, I can't, I'm not performing a bris.
You want to be Lorraine Bobbitt.
Right. So she recommends, she goes, well, do you use a razor? An electric
Flipper.
Razor.
Yeah.
And I said, sure, yeah. And she goes, well, take the part that you're supposed to use on like the long hair and use that to trim it, but go against the grain on it. And you'll have a little more control. And that way you're going out and not towards. It has made a world of difference in our house.
I bet.
But talk about anxiety. Oh,
no, and the thing is, you know, and you get that a lot with puppies. So Vinny has a little bit of that going on.
Yeah.
I just wash it a lot, you know, so I know what you exactly, because that is some rank stuff.
Right.
There's no getting around it. Yeah.
And George likes to back his butt up to us a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so I just don't need to get that close to me. Right?
No, it's not not good at all. So all in all, though, they get along. Because like you said, I mean, sadly, you had to inherit your dog with your mom's passing, right? So, I mean, but they everything was fine. I'm sure they saw each other a lot before then anyway.
My mom was doggy daycare for us. And so if Jill and I knew we had a long night, we would just send my mom over to my house. She'd grab the dogs. And her yard was fenced in.
So
the dogs would go running. Didn't have to be on a chain. And they loved that. So they were already family by the time George moved into our house.
When I first moved into Barnesville from our farmstead, you know, we had a Cocker Spaniel. And we'd, you know, he's leashed. And he would take off and go see the town if he could. And now after having a big fenced-in backyard, especially with three golden retrievers, man, fencing in, it is just nice. And it's not that you still want to pay attention so they don't sneak under it or it'll take off that way, but just they feel like it's their own playground. It is so nice. It's worth the investment if you are a dog person like you and I are.
Do you have any of your dogs dig?
No, the Russell used to, but we got him out of it. How? I don't know. But
so I'm the third generation to own my home. My grandfather built it, my parents owned it, and then I'm in it. My grandfather, when he put the fence in back in 1957, put a concrete mow strip around the entire thing. So even when Neely digs, she can't get under the 2 feet it takes to get that thing. I tell you, if my grandfather were here right now, I would kiss him on the forehead.
I was just going to say,
thank you, thank you.
Can you imagine? And you know, if you guys ever decide to move, I don't know if you will, but that is a big selling point because people will look at, you know, we've talked to Eric Hatch about this. Dogs are a big part of why people buy a certain house sometimes if you're a dog person. Same thing with vehicles. I talk to people, sell cars. Yeah, people want to know the access for their dogs. If it's too high, if it's too, like Deb from Muscatel, she goes, part of the reason people love those Outbacks so much is because their dogs can jump right in the back. You know, and it's, you know, my minivan, they can go in the side door easily from I call it the dog's minivan because I would never bought a minivan if I didn't have dogs. But it's amazing how much we can change our lives because of our loves for our dogs. So
I don't know if you talked about this on your podcast yet, but dogs are chick magnets.
Oh, yeah.
I take George and Neely out to the park, and I get more attention than you can ever imagine. And I'm always like, sorry, ladies, I'm taken.
I'm married.
No big deal.
No.
But recently I was watching a couple of frat guys who must have borrowed a dog and took it to a park. And so they weren't really paying attention to what was going on. And they're really hitting on these ladies. And then all of a sudden the mood goes still. And I'm like, oh, boy, these guys don't even realize what's happening. Well, this big dog, it was like a German Shepherd, right behind them, just decided it was time to go potty, time to poop. And so there's nothing that kills the mood that you're setting with these ladies. Like, and it's like, fellas, if you're going to go with the dog to find ladies, always make sure you poop first. Always make sure.
Yeah, that's true. Get that out of the way, and then that's a very good point. That can be quite a mood.
Right, because it's hard to get somebody's number when you're holding a baggie full
of
poop.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know what I'm talking
about?
That's
a very good point. Not that I know a lot about this, I never really had to deal with it all that much with my single days of actually, you know. Most of my dog owning since Sparky died when I was like 25 years old, our Cocker Spaniel, was always taking my dad's dog out, and he was an English setter, so it's just pretty much I'd take him out to the field, let him run around the CRP for a little bit, and then he'd come back when he was tired out. And that's pretty much – so I didn't use that a lot in my single days, unfortunately. And then when I met Amber, then it's been all about golden retrievers. So that's between, that's my last 11 years is golden retrievers in my life. So
well, it sounds like you love your dogs a lot, and I think that that is something that really comes out in a person. You know, and you don't have to say, I'm a dog person, I'm a cat person, but – I think as long as you've got an affinity for animals and somebody can care for an animal, it makes you a more trustworthy human being.
Well, I think what it does is shows that, you know, for you're not narcissistic because you put something ahead of yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to get into the politics part of it, but that's one thing that they say about President Trump is he's like the first president how long that doesn't have a dog, right? And I think for dog people, it's a little worrisome. And I'm not just talking about him. I'm just talking about dog people or non-dog people in general. They think... Because I think most people are going to put their children ahead of themselves. Some people don't, but, you know, it's children, right? But to have a living creature that has personality, which you almost think has a soul because they seem so human-like sometimes, that you're going to do something for them. Like you plan your weekend around, okay, who's going to take care of the dogs, right?
Right. And
if, when we go to the cities, you got to have someone let the dogs out, right?
Yep.
And so, I mean, if I go to a Vikings game, if we go down to Amber's sisters, it's just that's part of it. It's like having children. You can't kennel up your children, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah. When we first started traveling after we had dogs, Jill cared less about whether or not they had like a criminal background and more like, well, will they bond with the dogs?
That's right.
So you can take whatever you want from the house, but I need to know that the fur babies are taken care of while you're gone.
And when you have that dog sitter, oh, it's everything to you. I mean, mm-hmm. Our little girl next door, I pay her pretty good for it. She goes, that's way too much. I said, the comfort knowing that you're going to be, that they're in safe hands, our fur babies in safe hands is worth every penny. And
do you have her send you any photos or anything? Because that's what Jill does.
All the time.
Yep. Yep.
All the time. It was funny, you know, because we had that wedding a couple weeks ago at Thief River Falls, and she loves to do it, too. And so Russell's just like licking her feet. She goes, I guess he likes her feet. And we're just shaking her head because he likes, must like the salt or whatever,
sure.
Some of the sweat. So, and she's just soaking it all up and like, oh my, yeah, it's absolutely perfect. So, yeah, it really means a lot. If you got a trustworthy neighbor, friend, or whatever that can take care of the dog and bond with the dog, it means everything to you.
It's getting to be big business. The IT guy here, Luke, his wife does something. It's called Rover.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah,
an
yeah.
app that you can download now, and then it's sort of like Uber for dog sitters.
Yep.
And they're making a huge amount of cash by letting out dogs or having a dog stay with them for the weekend.
I've always said the next time I get fired in radio, that's what I'm doing.
Good move, yeah.
No, I mean, really. I mean, it's I think boarding or something, you know, when you have a growing community like ours, too, it's something I've looked at in the Lakes area. I think there is something there. I may have given away my million-dollar idea, but...
Well, let me tell you something. Here's the million-dollar idea, okay? There's a Dairy Queen at the front, then there's storage units in the middle, mm-hmm. and then there's dog boarding at the end. You would be the Warren Buffett of Minnesota.
That's right. Well, let's not get crazy. The Oracle of dog boarding. No. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Good luck to your dogs, and we'll keep you in touch and see the latest here in a couple of months here, how the winter has fared for our puppies.
Well, thank you very much. Woof, woof.
All right, J.J. Gordon with us. It Takes Two. You can hear him on KFGO weekdays 11 until 2. I'm Derek Hansen from Couch Potato Radio on the Mighty 790 for another episode of Derek's Dog Talk.